Welcome to Two Open Doors, the podcast that explores our power to open or close the doors of relationship with the important people in our lives. We hope you'll learn from and share your wisdom with our community. Thanks for joining us. The well-known sex educator and podcaster Dan Savage has stated his belief that all loving relationships are transactional. In contrast with that, there is the proposal that true love is unconditional. Can these two polar positions be reconciled? In this episode, we'll consider what it means for a relationship to be transactional, and we'll also envision what an unconditional relationship might look like. We'll then consider what these two perspectives have in common to try to gain a broader and more inclusive understanding of the nature of intimate relationship. To begin, let's consider the Oxford Dictionary's definition of the adjective transactional. First is relating to conducting of business, especially buying or selling, and two is relating to exchange or interaction between people. It seems that the essence of a transaction is that it involves an exchange, a quid pro quo, between two parties. In the course of that exchange process, gains and costs are determined and balanced, presumably such that both parties are satisfied with the results of the exchange. Transactions are clearly the foundation of commerce, but are they also fundamental to relationship? At some level, that's likely to be the case. When two people interact in a relationship, each has desires and goals that they'd like to satisfy. In harmonious and equitable relationship, both partners feel that they are getting something that they value from the other person, in exchange for what they themselves contribute to the relationship. Without at least a rough long-term balance and the perceived benefits to both partners, the relationship is likely to eventually prove unsatisfying to one or both partners. The benefits of relationship can include companionship, physical and emotional support, interesting conversation, physical intimacy, and many other things. Each partner in an intimate relationship has a mix of these potential benefits as their relationship goals. In addition to having mutually pleasing personalities, the participants in a compatible relationship are able to satisfy each other's relationship goals, at least to a large extent. At the other end of the spectrum of earned versus freely given love lies the notion of unconditional love. By definition, that term describes a love that one person gives to another without the need or expectation of reciprocation from the recipient. Such a love doesn't involve the weighing of gives and gets. Someone who receives unconditional love is able to count on the constancy of that love, or perhaps more accurately, on the unflagging willingness of the lover to keep loving. The most obvious example of unconditional love is that which unites a mother with her infant. An emotionally mature mother is able and willing to do whatever it takes to secure the safety, prosperity, and happiness of her child, even if that sometimes has to be at her personal disadvantage. Though rare, we may also sometimes see a similar kind of unconditional love between adults. Especially in times of duress, some people are willing to take great risks for the benefit of others, such as Oskar Schindler's sheltering of Jews from the Nazis during World War II. Such acts are so extraordinary and exceptional that they often qualify as heroic. The essence of unconditional love is that it focuses on the needs of others, even at the potential expense of one's own goals and desires. Unconditional love isn't truly selfless, though, because it undoubtedly does benefit the giver, even if only in as abstract a way as satisfying what the giver believes is right and necessary. Living a life in personal integrity can be rewarding, though that is likely to only be highly valued by someone who is personally evolved. Most of us tend to place greater value on more tangible and concrete things, such as rewarding experiences or physical pleasures. Valuing integrity resides at a higher level of Maslow's pyramid, perhaps at the level of self-actualization. In several prior episodes, we've contemplated the nature of love. We've noted that love involves certain positive feelings toward another person or thing, but that it can also entail much more. In noting that love is a verb, as I strongly believe, we've acknowledged that our possible love of someone is embodied in how we treat them, not just in how we feel about them. We demonstrate our love in how we validate, support, and nurture the object of our love. These concrete manifestations of our love become tangible signs of our love that are perceived by the beloved. Our love thus both fills real needs and desires for our beloved, as well as conveying to them how we feel about them. Sometimes the little things that we do for someone we love may not be a big material help to them, but it can be a powerful emotional gift. Noticing that milk is low at home and stopping by the market for some on the way home from work can result in a sizable deposit to the emotional bank account of one's relationship, not so much because of the difficulty of making the purchase, but rather because it shows one's presence and investment in a relationship. Such seemingly small shows of love are not inconsequential. They can set the overall tone of a relationship. Intimate relationships are conditional insofar as they need to be perceived as fair and caring by both partners if they are to persist. That's where the transactional aspect of relationship comes in. Each interaction in a relationship is an opportunity to offer our partner something that they value, be it a kiss, a genuine and spoken I love you, rather than just an unspoken thought, or taking the kids to their soccer match, or cooking and lovingly serving a favorite dish. All of those things provide something of value. The partners in a relationship do typically track how they are being treated by their partner, whether consciously or unconsciously. If the energy flows only in one direction, the giving partner is likely to feel unappreciated and taken advantage of. Such a situation bodes ill for the relationship. Healthy, intimate relationships are also unconditional in that they are motivated by the caring and the other positive feelings that the partners feel for each other. Those feelings can arise from mysterious sources. They can be potent enough to induce a person to do something for their partner that may not be to that person's preference and that may even cost them something. Such love can be seen as selfless, at least to some degree. Anyone who has received such love knows how good it feels. We're drawn to a person who is able to be that generous and unselfish toward us. It's validating and a boost to our feelings of self-worth to know that someone wants to do nice things for us, not because of what we've done for them, but because of who we are in their eyes. I would summarize our preceding observations by envisioning intimate connection as something that is transactional or conditional, in that how we treat our partner, that is, the things we do for and with them, needs to be fair and generous if we want our partner to feel valued and supported. Equally, though, such connections are unconditional in that they reflect feelings of selfless generosity between the partners because of what they see in one another. In love, the conditional and the unconditional come together like yin and yang. They are both essential facets of an intimate relationship. Realizing this dual nature of intimacy should focus us on the importance of maintaining a pattern of caring support and validation for our partner. It should equally remind us of the importance of staying in touch with the many things that we love in our partner, the things that brought our relationship into existence in the first place. It's those feelings that motivate our actions toward our partner, and it's those feelings that keep the coals of our relationship glowing. Intimate relationship is a precious gift, and it's good to recognize our good fortune in enjoying such a connection. To learn more about Two Open Doors and to engage with our community, I'd like to invite you to visit the Two Open Doors private Facebook group for posts and discussion, and the Two Open Doors meetup group for events. I also invite you to contact me directly by writing to me at Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, at twoopendoors.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll use your inputs to guide my work on future blog posts and podcast episodes. Thanks for visiting Two Open Doors.